What's happening locally? The news.
And let us take our Monday morning look, our first look for the week, some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. The plenary session of the Tribunal Electoral confirmed the 11-1 agreement of March the 4th of 2024, through which the candidates for the position of President and Deputy of Ricardo Martinelli are disqualified. The confirmation responds to the appeal for reconsideration presented by lawyer Alejandro Perez, legal representative of the political group Realizing Metas, or as we know it, RM, a political party founded by former President Martinelli. This is the full agreement 13-1 of March 9th of 2024, contained in Edict 37-2024-SG. Now, in this way, the 11-1 agreement issued by the Tribunal Electoral on the 4th of March is confirmed, in which Martinelli was disqualified from the competing in the elections of the 5th of May for the position of President of the Republic and main deputy to the National Assembly for the 8-4 circuit, nominated by RM and Alianza. It was reported that the decision adopted by the plenary session of the Tribunal Electoral will be published for 24 hours by edict of the General Secretariat of the institution. Martinelli has been asylumed at the headquarters of the Nicaraguan Embassy in Panama since last February the 7th, 5 days after the Supreme Court of Justice did not admit an appeal against the sentence that sentenced him to 128 months in prison for money laundering in the New Business case. Now, it must be remembered that Article 180 of the Constitution prohibits a person sentenced to 5 years in prison or more from being elected President or Vice President of the Republic. Thus, José Raúl Molino will now be presidential candidate for RM and Alianza, while Martinelli's application in the 8-4 circuit is assumed by his lawyer Alejandro Perez, who was his substitute. With 56 days left until the general elections in the country, the Metropolitan Archbishop of Panama, José Domingo Ulloa, encouraged citizens not to be deceived by the false promises of some candidates. Analyze his proposals, his life path, and the congruence between one and the other, said Ulloa in his Sunday homily on the 10th of March. Ulloa also urged Panamanians not to be impressed by advertising campaigns and not to be voting because of the inertia of always doing so for a political party. He knows people, analyzes their history and current life, he emphasized, and don't trust campaign promises, he repeated. In the homily, Ulloa reiterated that the Catholic Church does not anoint any candidate and only seeks to educate each of its members so that they can make the best decisions for the good of the country. A total of 3,004,083 citizens will be eligible to vote in the general election on Sunday the 5th of May, in which 1,511,049, which is about 50.3%, are women, and 1,493,034, 49.7%, they're men, according to statistics provided by the Tribunal Electoral of Panama. Comptroller Gerardo Solis reported that between 2020 and 2023, they made 1,135 accountability reports to local governments in Panama. However, according to the official, everything is practically in order, since according to the results of these investigations, 97% comply with the processes and manage the money appropriately. Only 3% need to make adjustments. That is to say, despite the multiple scandals over the million-dollar disbursements of parallel decentralization in the community boards and municipalities of Panama, according to the comptroller, there's no waste, mismanagement of funds, administrative disorder, or signs of corruption. All thanks to what Solis calls the culture of correction. Solis addressed the issue of audits when independent deputy Juan Diego Vasquez questioned him about the San Miguelito case. Vasquez said that he presented documents to the comptroller's office that showed that the community boards of that district delivered all the support in 1 month, bags of food, construction, materials, among others. "We pay for audits, but it doesn't seem to be working. Explain to me," said the deputy. Well, this is how Solis, a former PRD activist and a fervent defender of Laurentino Cortizo's government, began to talk about his culture of correction. We have strengthened interaction with community boards and municipalities, said the official, who at the request of the independent deputy responded that in this administration they had carried out 561 audits. In addition, he boasted that a month ago they began the pilot plan of a real-time accountability program to analyse the disbursements of each community board. This will lead us, of course, to correct any human imperfection that is occurring in the management of funds, so that there is better management of resources, he explained. A report from the Attorney General's Office, published in September of 2023, revealed that of 101 audits that was requested from the Comptroller's Office by the anti-corruption prosecutors of the accusatory criminal system between January the 2nd of 2020 and that date, well, only 4 had been received. But in the Assembly, the power of the state that appointed him on the 13th of August of 2019, the Comptroller said that his is the, quote, administration that has carried out the most audits in the history of the Comptroller's Office, both forensic and general audits, unquote. Of the 561 audits, he added that 44% have errors. It means that every day when we go out and do an audit, the audits turn out better. They turn out well, said the man in charge of supervising the country's finances. Frederico Humberg, Comptroller, during the period of 2015 to 2020, provided multiple audits to the public ministry to support cases of corruption, and on one occasion he brought to that office 220 boxes with 186 audits carried out in different community boards and municipalities in the country. At that time, Humberg told then-prosecutor Kenya Porcel that the information provided the weight and structure necessary to open judicial proceedings. The children's games at the Omar Torrijos Herrera Recreational and Cultural Park require urgent renovation. This is due to their obvious deterioration. During a tour of the place, it was possible to verify the absence of paint, the lack of protective mesh, and the presence of deteriorated and rusty structures, thus turning it into an abandoned area. The children's games, the dinosaur area, the snack houses, the swings and the bathrooms are neglected. Even the green of the park, in contrast to the primary colours that the children's area maintained, has been lost. During a visit made by the La Prensa team to Parque Omar, the deterioration, several children's games were observed. Even a group of children in their innocence ran from one place to another without realising the abandonment of the area. We had the opportunity to talk to Maria Teresa Jaramillo, a mother who took advantage of the morning to play and enjoy herself with her son. It is unfortunate to see the state of the games and how they are. Being a park frequented by children, they should be in optimal condition. With the resources of our country, we should have first-class children's facilities, said the visitor. The special games area for the disabled is also deteriorated. Only one game has more attractiveness, clear colours, protective meshes on the and the floor with garden rugs. Now, this is the game that children visit the most because it's in better condition. Parque Omar, which receives more than 5,000 people a day, is under the umbrella of the office of the First Lady, Yasmin Colon de Cortizo, which is located in the centre of the city, in the district of San Francisco. The park has 56 hectares, and in addition to recreational facilities, it has sports fields, walking trails, the National Library, the Dome, the amphitheatre, a BMX racetrack, bypass, a swimming pool and food kiosks, among others. In addition, it is widely used to hold health fairs, among other recreational activities. Given the situation, which has been reported since last year by some visitors to the park, a project was launched to remodel and adapt the cultural and children's facilities of the recreational centre. The tender that was in the hands of the Ministry of the Presidency. In a joint operation between agents of the National Aeronaval Service, SANAN, and the officials of the public ministry, 2.1 tonnes of drugs were seized in the waters of Punta Mala, in the province of Los Santos. According to the preliminary report from the authorities, two people were arrested, one of Panamanian nationality and the other of Nicaraguan. In addition, a craft boat in which the drugs were transported was also seized. The Los Santos drug prosecutor, Carmen Cordoba, reported that the illicit substance was distributed in 41 packages, containing in total 2,000 112 rectangular packages. Those arrested were placed at the disposal of the corresponding authorities for due judicial process. And for his part, Rospel Atencio, head of the 4th Air Naval Region, pointed out that the vessel was detected during a routine patrol and that the two people on board tried to flee, but they were detained shortly afterwards. That's it. There we go. There's our look for this morning. Those are some of the things in the local news for the last day or so, compiled for you on this morning's programme.